I asked before the coffee break, I'd mentioned earlier in the day about the election of a new leader, nomination for the leader's post, and that has come about. We've actually only received one nomination, and that has been proposed by Dr. John Kyle and seconded by Phil Hamilton, and that is for Billy Hutchison. So I'm going to ask Billy, first of all, formally, do you accept the nomination as leader of the PUP? Billy has said yes, which is good. I'm now going to call upon Billy. Billy, as I said, there was no other nomination, so Billy, as far as I'm concerned, is elected unopposed. I don't think anyone's disagreeing with that. So I'm going to call on Billy. Billy's going to say a few words, and I'm not sure what he's going to say, but I'm going to hand it over to Billy.
I'm going to just say that I'm very grateful to be given this position. It's a position which is very privileged, and my view is that there is life for the PUP. But before I actually talk about that, and Brian's obviously made his first mistake as the chairman, because he never gave me a time limit. But I suppose when I see the guy coming Miss Summages, I better shut up if I haven't kept crap with him. But what I do want to do is I want to sort of talk a bit about my background and what I believe that I have worked with others to achieve over the years. And two people who actually contributed quite a lot to my views and to my background are both dead, and that's Gusty Spence and David Irving. We need to move on, and we need more people in that ilk to actually take up the mantle in this party. My view is that Billy Hutchison isn't going to do all of this. What Billy Hutchison is going to do is work with you to do it. Everybody in this room will have a role to play in the PUP. I accept that people join the PUP for different reasons. We need to find out what those reasons are, and we also need to find out what their niche is so they can do it. Someone said, I can't remember who it was, but someone said, what can the PUP do for ACT? I tell you what the PUP can do for ACT. From this day forth, what the PUP can do for ACT is ensure that all the people that are out there that are in the UVF and Red Hawn that have signed up the ACT are politicised. That means we know how to handle HET politically, we know how to handle supergrass trials politically, and we know how to put the two political parties that's in power under pressure, because they're not serving our communities. Anyway, to go back to my background, I got involved in the peace process in 1983. Some people may find that hard to believe. I was in prison representing I was the OC of the UVF Red Hawn prisoners in Longcash. And at that particular time, they were bringing all these people from all over the Commonwealth, not all over the world, but all over the Commonwealth, to come into Longcash and to have a look around and to talk to the people who were there. And I had the privilege of actually talking to them. Myself and Tom Winston, who's now the head of Alternatives, was my 2IC at the time. And we had a story to tell, and that story was about loyalism. It was about political loyalism. It was about progressive loyalism. It was exactly talking about the stuff that Hughie Smith and others was doing on the outside. The stuff that they were doing, it was being recognised by government, but not necessarily being recognised within the media or within our communities. I told that story to an ambassador from Australia, and he had dinner the next night in Whitehall. A week later, we were visited by people from Whitehall to ask us to engage the UVF on the outside in a peace process. Jim McDonnell became the link between the UVF and the British government at that particular time. Remember, this is 1983. Pat Thompson, who was a commander of the Provisional IRA, the same approach was made to him. Unbeknown to me, he was making similar speeches about the Long War and about what Adams was doing. He was approached and he set up a link with the IRA. I recall Jim McDonnell telling me then in 1983 when he went to the first meeting, it was in the Europa Hotel. As he went out the revolving doors, he noticed a member of the Army Council, the IRA, in the door, the other side. That's the stuff that was happening. On my release from prison in 1990, I was involved in talking to the UVF about a peace process. We're all aware that the UVF called a cessation of hostilities in 1991 to allow the group talks to take place. The IRA planted bombs in our estates and in our pubs and killed people. That didn't bring down that ceasefire. What brought it down was the political parties that couldn't get any agreement or come up with any solutions during the Brook talks. That's what brought it down. The UVF leadership approached me after that, along with a few others, and said, never again will we allow ourselves to be run by the Ulster Unionists or the DUP. We needed to make sure that we had the PUP in a position where it was. Boy Mitchell, myself, and Eddie Kenner, who was a former prisoner in the Tesh, along with me, started to develop the policies in the PUP. And when we hit the ceasefire in 1994, we had all of those policies in place. Between 1991 and 1994, I was asked by the UVF to talk to UVF men about what a peace process would look like. And I had a task of doing that. Some of my friends fell out with me. I'm talking about UVF people who were active at that time. Because remember, people were being killed. And they fell out with me because they didn't believe it was the right way forward. But in the end, the leadership called that ceasefire, along with the UDA. And it was the leadership of the Red Hall and the UVF that called that ceasefire. We all know that the ceasefire statement was written by the loyalists, particularly Gusta. And I don't know how many drafts there was, maybe I think it was 28 or something, before they actually got to the final statement. That's where we come from. We can't deny that. And I'll never deny it. Everybody knows I wear my heart on my sleeve. I believe that the loyalist community, not necessarily the paramilitaries, but the paramilitaries are part of that. We did not parachute in from outer space. You know, we're part of those communities. And what we need to do now is to ensure that we lead people out. Because no other political party is going to do it. Sinn Féin and Republicans may be voting for Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin is no longer a party of the left. It never was. It's not interested in working class issues. What it's interested in is power. The first time I seen that was whenever they agreed to use public-private initiatives in terms of schools. We now rent a couple of schools back to ourselves. It's on a mortgage which you would have to take out over 100 years. And if me and you went to the bank, they'd never give us it. But they're quite willing to give it to these people. You know, they've brought all of that stuff on us, so we need to actually work out how we do that. For me, today is about this party moving forward. There are lots of good things in this party that the party hasn't told. There are lots of good people in this party. We have two elected representatives in Belfast City Council, Shuey being the longest. And, you know, I know Shuey Smith. He's probably going under, he's about 108.
I am 108.
And what we need to do is, we need to start building the structures. We need to start to get it out there. This party needs to grow. Party needs to invite others in. And this party needs to make sure that it brings everybody in. Everybody. In terms of all of those people who want to help us. We also need to make sure that we get our message right. And our message doesn't always have to be blunt. In fact, I think what we need to do is to actually look at how we give our message. Now, through all of my history, nothing would have happened without the cooperation of the UVF and Red Hand leaderships. That's why we're in this position we're in. The UDP and other people who contributed to the ceasefires and have long disappeared and struggled to actually get a voice, didn't get a voice. We did get a voice. We had two assembly members and we had a number of councillors. As far as I'm concerned, we do not use electoral success as a measure for this party. What we do is, when we listen to Tony Novoselov and we hear what happened back in the 80s, and we know, I personally know, what Shuey and others did at that time, that's our success. Because there wouldn't have been a peace process and there wouldn't have been a political process if it hadn't been for us. How long did the constitutional parties have to come up with a solution? And they never once come up with it. They were only able to come up with it whenever the guns and the bombs stopped. People could hear what they were saying, and they were no longer being deafened by murder and mayhem in our streets. That's a party that I know and love. That's a party that I know can do things in the future. What I'm asking people today to do is for people to join me in building a bigger and better party. That's what I want. I want people to be working to actually make sure that we have the next generation that will take over in Belfast City Council the seats that are held by John and Shea. I want people to be in the City Hall on a daily basis learning from Shea and John. Not only do I want them in there learning from Shea and John, I want them in there supporting them. Whatever tasks need to be done, we need them to do it. Now, we don't have money to pay for people to do it, but what we do have is we have lots of people who have got commitment. We need to find out where that commitment is, and we need to test the level of commitment. This party will always be here, as far as I'm concerned. We may change our policies, we may change our tactics, but we'll always be here. We have an advantage this time round, and the advantage is other people's disadvantage. The advantage we have is that we're in a recession. And in a recession, governments will fail. And the reason why they'll fail is because they'll not look for the proper solutions. They will continually stick with their policies and they'll make mistakes. When they make the mistakes, we need to be sure that what we're saying is that the poverty that exists in this community, irrespective of why you're a Protestant or a Catholic, is not acceptable. We need to find ways. I work in the Mount Vernon Community Development Forum. And in Mount Vernon, we're in the worst 10% of the most depraved areas in the country. I've worked with a couple of academics, and what we have found out is that because we're in an area of the worst 10%, we fail to actually reach the worst 10%. And for people in Mount Vernon who are the worst 10%, this is their DNA. They can't afford public transport. They can't afford a holiday. And the other thing is that they've got social workers. They have children who've got all sorts of learning difficulties. And you know what? It's the same families that keeps repeating. Nobody is doing anything to stop that repeat. Now, what I say is, you know, the shame isn't on them. The shame's on us because we've done nothing about it. And we need to make sure that the DUP and others know that the education system that we have does not fit working class people. Now, my problem with this is, and I know that people will refer to Dawn's sort of education stuff. I did it long before Dawn. I was doing it back in 89 and 90. I did it as an MLA. Lots of people are following on from the stuff that I've done. What I can tell you is that if we continually argue about five GCSEs or O-levels, we're on a heading to nothing. Because we need to be talking about learning. That's what we need to be talking about. And if I heard John Cale right, I think John Cale was talking about learning. That's what he was talking about. Because if we try to measure this, we'll not achieve it. Now, I hear people saying, you know, about the problems. Our problems go back to the unionist government in the 60s. And if I recall, I lived in Shaggle. I grew up through it. We had the Morgan Plan. The Morgan Plan was a rape and plunder of the Shaggle. It scattered our people all over the place. 50,000 people. The IRA didn't do that. It was an Ulster Unionist government. And they did it on the mouth of recession when they decided they were going to bring inward investment in. Now, some of these words didn't exist at this time, but that's what they did. They also moved the people who were upwardly mobile out and left an ageing population with no skills in the Shaggle. And then we ask ourselves, why in 1989 we only had four children in the Shaggle out of all the schools who passed the 11 plus? One of them was a young man called Wilson MacArthur, who I employed as a researcher in the Assembly. he was one of four people in 89 who passed as 11 plus. Now, that had got nothing to do with Republicans or Catholics. It had to do with the Unionist government who decided they were going to move people out. Those are the tasks that face us. My question is, do we do or do we not do what Manchester did? What Manchester did was that they built a Commonwealth Stadium, and around it, it had the worst deprivation in the whole of Europe. What they did was that they brought middle class people back to massage statistics. So they've moved out of that. But what happened to the people who were deprived? Nothing. They've still got the same problems: educational underachievement, unemployment, bad health. Nothing was done for them. They just massaged the figures. So those are all the things we need to be careful of. The last thing I want to say is, if anybody in this room thinks that members of the UVF or Red Hand did not play a positive role in this society, then they haven't understood what has happened. Nothing could have been achieved without them. And what helped them achieve what they achieved was the political leadership that came from the PUP. We need to get back to that. Someone earlier on talked about the sort of the discussions, and I think it was Billy Drummond, if I remember right, who was talking about consulting with the DUP. I agree wholly with Billy. I think what we need to do is that we need to build some relationships with these parties. But you know what? The most important engagement for me is ourselves. We have not engaged each other. We don't know what we want, and we need to start that from today. As part of the ACT programme, there will be a politicisation. I want people in this room to take part in it. I want people to help others. Because we need to reconnect, not just with the community, but with the UVF and Red Hand. We need to show them that we will help sort those problems out, and that we're going to work for everybody in the community. Not just one section, it has to be for everybody. People have suffered. You know, I stand before you believing that I can't change the world. But you know what we can do? We can tell the world the changes they need to make it a better place. That's what we need to be doing. Now, it depends on who wants to listen to us. I said earlier on that we have an opportunity. I believe that that opportunity is the recession. It's going to get worse. A woman living on her own with two children, bringing in £7,000 a year, is someone who's in poverty. That's the definition. Now, all the academics will tell you that by the time the Tory government has finished their term, that will slide to £5,000 because of the cuts they're going to make. If that £5,000 will bring in lots of other people, and it will plummet those people on £7,000 down into a worse place. We need to be aware of all of that. As well as that, we need to be making sure that we continually work on the stuff that Tony outlined this morning. The Bill of Rights. The PUP need to meet with the new Chief Commissioner of Human Rights. We need to ask him, what are they doing about a Bill of Rights? It was part of the Good Friday Agreement. The PUP supported the whole notion of a Bill of Rights. So for me, that's where we need to be. Somebody asked a question, where it all went wrong. And when I hear people tell me where it all went wrong, it reminds me of the story about George Best in the waiter in a London hotel from Belfast. When I read £8,000 lying in the bed, and Miss Ward came out with a negligee on in her bedroom, and he said, Mr. Best, where did it all go wrong? We need to work out where it all went wrong. Because it went wrong for us because of the demonisation of people. The demonisation of people in this room. I am one of the people who has been demonised. I was arrested for a murder that I didn't commit not that long ago. Well, I wasn't arrested for a murder. I was arrested for withholding information. Because I decided to defend the community that was being demonised by the politicians and by the police. A police service that had no interest in resolving the problem. All they were interested in doing was actually condemning people because they live in a particular loyalist community. We need to realise that things have not changed. We still have people out there who are trying to upset this. I can recall going to an election, and the night before I went to an election, a police agent ordered people to be beat. And in fact, in one case, the mom was murdered from the beating. Now, it's all in the courts. Everybody knows now. We know who the handlers were. We know how long he's been there. He's been there from age 16. He's paid thousands of pounds. They actually do this. Now, why does anybody want to do that? That is the question. I think what we need to do is to work towards creating a new society for everybody. My problem is that when I hear about Sinn Féin and others who want equality, it's not equality for us. It's not equality for the security services who come from our community. None of that. We need to ensure that all of those people actually give us equality. And that equality is not given out because of the Saisir mandate, but it's given out because you're a British citizen. And let's remember, we are British citizens. I want to demand what we have in the UK. If it's good enough for somebody in Leeds or London or wherever, then it's good enough for me. That's what I want. This party is a unionist party, and we'll not make any apologies for that. But as I said, we're going to have to work how we actually get our message out. So it's up to you. I'm prepared to lead this party, but I need others to lead it with me. I'm not interested in creating leaders in this party. I'm interested in creating leadership. And that leadership's important. It has to be collective. It has to be about us all. And let's not point the finger at each other. What I want to finish with is the principles of loyalism is our Bible. And I'm sorry that people in the room are religious and think I'm blaspheming. I don't mean to. But it is our Bible. It is something that grew out of the talks with William Mitchell, myself and Eddie Kinner, and we're going to stay with them. But you know what? We're not going to read them in 2 years' time. We're going to make sure that everything we do is proofed, and it's proofed around those principles. We're going to make sure that we argue our case, and it's not the case for us in the room. I don't live in poverty. I earn good money. But I do go into people's houses who do. I work in an area where there's 100 companies across the road. There's 2 people in the estate who actually work there. We had one man who was turned down because he had a BT code in Mount Vernon. I asked him to change his code to his mother's code. She lived in Carrick. Not only did he get the job with the same application with a different address, he's now charged on. So that person is no different. Because he had a BT code in Carrick, or because he had one in Mount Vernon. The reality is, we need to stop this. Because it's our people who are being discriminated against. We also need to recognise that there is a new community, or new communities, in this society. Ken Wilkinson, my understanding is, left the party during the week and joined the Polish. And I'm glad that he came back. But we do have to represent these people. And these people are like us.
It's on the vodka now.
It must be all the cheap stuff. It's not the stuff she drinks. She don't drink Smirnoff. But, you know, the reality is, we need to be challenging these people in a positive way. They're moving into a new society. And they have a different set of principles and mores than we do. So we need to work with them to actually make sure that when they come into our communities, they're safe. Now, that's, make no mistake about it, not everybody's going to agree with us. There are going to be people who are racist that are out there and, you know, will not want to support the PUP because they're racist. Well, you know, my view is that what we need to do is we need to convince people what we're about. We also need to remind people about the people from Poland and other countries which died in 2 world wars along with us. That's what they fought for. I think we forget that. Those are the sorts of issues that we have and face us. But the only way forward is to do this together. You both have an opportunity to politicise, and what I want for people in this party is to accept that those people are politicised and want to become members of this party, that they become members on an equal footing. That's all I ask for. And I ask those UVF men who are going to join the PUP to recognise that there are people in the PUP who do not have a background the same as us. But what they do have is that they have plenty of experience from a community that's the same as ours. And their experiences are different from ours. And we need to recognise that. There's no question about that. We may come from the same backgrounds and the same society and all the rest of it, but we all have our different life experiences. And I think what we need to do is to make sure that we can get people from those life experiences, and when we put them all together, that they actually create something which makes a party that can have equality for everyone and can encourage people to join this party. Now, you know, this doesn't start on Monday. This starts now. I need to work out now, or maybe Brian needs to tell me what I need to do next. But, you know, I need, and what I'm saying now is, I need a think tank. And there are people in this party who I think would make a very good think tank. I need people in this party to work on the politicisation of the UVF and the Red Hand. And I need UVF men to come forward. I don't want meetings every month where the branches are going to sit and talking about how they're going to make money or how they're not going to make money. I want branches to be talking about what are the problems in your area, who are the people we can get to fix it. And you know what? We need to start working out how we have street reps. I want people on every street saying, I'll go and see Shoe Smith, or I'll go and see Opportunity, and I'll get that fixed. That's what I want. We are not going to get credit for anything unless we actually take it ourselves. We need to have people who are recognised as being connected with us actually doing things. We need to start claiming it. And in some cases, we need to claim things we don't even do, because that's what the others done. And we all know that the DUP are in power. And I'm glad the DUP and Sinn Féin are in power, because it actually represents this society. It's the two extremes. We were never the extremists. It was always the DUP. I'm not interested in stealing the DUP's clothes. I'm interested in finding a niche for ourselves. And I have an idea what that niche is. And what I want to hear from you is what you think it is. So starting from now, I want you to support the PUP. Not support me, support the PUP, and actually starting to develop. And I'm hoping that what we will get is that we will get a swell of the ranks. Not because I want numbers. I would like to see 3 or 4 times of people here next year at a conference. But not just to swell the ranks, for the sake of swelling the ranks. We want people who are going to work. I recognise when I was the PUP last time, I had people who didn't want to do political stuff. I also had people who just wanted to answer the phones and do stuff on a voluntary basis. And I had other people who wanted to go out and run dues. That's okay. If people come to me and say, or go to Brian and say, this is what I want to do in the party, that's okay. No problems with it. If you only come to a meeting twice a year, that's okay. Don't care. As long as you're contributing in between times. Now, we need to get our heads together. We need to think about what this is. And when I look around the room, there's not that many women here. So what we need to do is we need to work out why. So the first thing I would like a woman to do is to get together and come and tell us why we do not have more women than here today. That's what I want to hear. And then I want to hear how you're going to get more women in this party and how you're going to get those issues back on the table. That's what this is about. We're wasting our time. I want people to take authority and responsibility. I don't want people saying, well, you know what, it's too hard. I want you to come up with ideas. That's what I want you to do. I'm not interested in blocking people's ideas. As long as it's not going to discredit the party in any way, I don't care. But Brian Lacey's the chair, and as far as I'm concerned, I want Brian Lacey actively involved. We're going to need to work that out. So my next question to Brian is, when are we going to get a meeting, Brian, to sort this out?
Whenever you want one, boy.
Well, we need it within the next couple of days.
No problem.
And, you know, the one thing is that I'm standing here, and I'm happy. Do you know why? John Kerry's smelling. It's the first time I've seen John smell in about 2 years. Because John now knows he's got a bit of support. And the other thing is, it would be remiss of me not to say this. I said the shoe at the break. I canvassed for shoe 40 years ago. 40 years ago. Shoe's still there. For me, Shoey Smith, and the reason why I did it, was because I seen Shoey as a man of the people. And you know what? Shoey still lives in Glencairn. He goes in his back gate and out of his back gate to his house. He still lives there, him and his wife. You know what I mean? He's always lived on the Shankill. And Shoey knows this and I know this. Shoey had to go to work in Mackey's. But he's never left the Shankill. He's stayed there. He's held on to his roots. And Shoey has not walked away from this party in the last 40 years or however long he's been there. And that was because Shoey really, really believed that we were right. Sometimes he probably scratched his head and wondered, were we right? But he always came up with a conclusion. You know, and Shoey still lives there. He lives amongst people. He hears it every day. He walks up and down the Shankill, the bookies and the other places. And, you know, he gets button-toed. But Shoey has always been there. Shoey was the first person that I ever knew that made himself accessible to the people. When all the rest of these people were hiding in the City Hall, Shoey always had an office in the Shankill. You know? And we forget about Shoey was the Lord Mayor when the ceasefires was called. And what a wonderful Lord Mayor. And I'm not just saying that because he's my friend. Shoey got himself into a couple of tight corners when he was Lord Mayor. Sometimes he doesn't tell the whole story, he only tells part of it. But he did. You know, Shoey was a unionist. And Shoey was the first mayor from a unionist background to do some of the stuff that he'd done. He set the trend. It was easy for all these other people. He broke the ground and they all followed him. And we need to remember that. You know? And the reason why I'm taking this position is because in my heart I know that the PUP have been a tremendous party over the years. They've had committed people, people who are committed to our communities, and people who are committed to the cause. Because remember, you know, the whole thing about this is, when I first canvassed for Shoey, I was told by Paisley and by others, you're on the road to Dublin, the road to Rome. It'll not be long to have United Ireland. You know, I was 16. I'm now 56. I'm still a unionist. In fact, I think that there's no question, if it hadn't been for the Progressive Unionist Party, and I have to be honest, Shoey Smith argued with me and David Irvine about the Triple Act. And we got it. We argued with him at the start, and he convinced us we needed a Triple Act. And Shoey got it. Through gave it. We both argued it, and we got it. What did the DUP do in St Andrews? Took it away. Mm-hmm. They took it away. The Triple Act meant that we, for the foreseeable future, were safe within the United Kingdom. But we're still here. We're still talking about it. People talk about what we lost through the Good Friday Agreement or the Belfast Agreement. We lost nothing. We probably felt that we lost some. But look at Republicans. Republicans might be in power, but as Roy Garland said earlier, they've been corrupted. They don't want power in Dublin because they don't have United Ireland. But their project is to say they have power north and south. Having power north and south is not United Ireland. It's what you do with that power when you're given it. McGuinness might do well in the Republic, but do you know why he'll do well? Because of the collapse of the economy. That's why he'll do well. Because the Labour Party have done nothing, and other people have walked off the stage. So they fill a void, and McGuinness might do well. I was talking to a Republican the other day, a senior Republican. He was a senior Republican. And he told me a story, and he said to me that he was the person who actually termed, who came up with a term in the Republican movement about being watery. In other words, whenever they were out trying to do their talks, you know, people just said, "That's very watery," because they could never say what they really meant. And he said to me the other day, have you ever heard as much watering coming from McGuinness in all your life? He was challenging the notion of what McGuinness was saying about murder. In fact, challenging the position that McGuinness would even use the one word murder. Because he was saying he shouldn't be using it as a Republican. But anyway, that's not for Republicans in the North. That's for Republicans in the South. Not the Provost, but the two main parties who see themselves as the main Republicans. Pro and anti-treaty. That's what that discussion's for. But anyway, we can tell you shoot ourselves in the foot. We always grasp defeat from the jaws of victory. What we need to do is ensure that we don't do that anymore. That we make sure that we give that leadership, that we fill that void, and that we convince working class loyalists that we're right, and that we grasp victory from defeat. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Billy. Thank you very much, everybody. You've no doubt noticed there are sandwiches and sausage rolls and stuff that have arrived. In closing, obviously to thank Billy. I'm sure Billy has got the full support of the party. Billy has challenged us there. He used the word challenge a couple of times, and he's challenged us to raise our game, really. And being involved with the party a long time and being the chairman of the party for the past 5 years, I know that the work that has gone on. And the work, particularly as I said earlier, the last sort of year, 15 months, when we were in turmoil in some cases. But the people that stayed, and there wasn't that many resignations, but the people that stayed because we saw a future for us. And with the people that we represent needed to be represented because they weren't being represented by somebody else. And today, when Billy Hutchison spoke and Billy has taken over, I think it's the day that we can... gives us serious, serious optimism for the future. And I can assure Billy that certainly the Executive Committee and other members will fully be behind him. And like I said to William regarding the Act stuff, also whatever Billy's plans are, we'll fully be behind it and implementing it. And for the betterment, not only of the party, as Billy spoke about, but our communities. So I'm going to finish now. And as I say, if you can leave your details again, at the, even if you write your name and phone number down again, and well, the party needs some first sort of contacts and stuff because there's going to be things happening in the coming weeks. Thank you very much for coming today. Yeah.